What's up from Flowery Branch? Once again, it's time for Falcon Cast, a giddy crew. We're all back together. Shock, Jay Adams, John Michaels, hanging out with you guys. Make sure you take us on iTunes. Subscribe to Falcon Cast on iTunes. Just search Falcon Cast, hit the subscribe button, and get each week's episode on the go. It feels good to be back with you guys, and I appreciate you folks holding it down last week. I was in immense pain. Then I was in, you know, that after effect where I was just feeling delirious for a while. I don't know that there's anything worse than dental pain. I woke up after the last Falcon Cast. Wisdom tooth was rubbing against the side of my mouth. Yeah. My ears hurt. My head hurt. Needless to say, I had to go get a tooth out, which is never fun.
Pop it.
Oh, look at that.
Pop it.
Pop it.
Look like prime time.
I completely sympathize with you because that I can't stand mouth pain. So that's a terrible way to spend.
It's the worst, though. I mean,
really bad.
You don't realize how much, well, I guess you do, but your mouth hurting, that's pretty bad. You
couldn't do much. It affects everything.
Yeah, nothing you could do.
We love to talk, so, I mean, you got to use your mouth.
Yeah, and in this industry, you kind of have to be able to talk.
So last week, it was just me and DJ just.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something.
Shooting the breeze.
Jay Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Jay really loved your chair, I'm telling you.
I used to be in that chair. He took off and ran the show.
Many
moons ago.
Look, I can go play analyst. I like playing analyst better.
No.
Don't have to get through all the rigmarole. You just go. Yeah. You just sit back, relax.
Nah, man, we missed you though. For real, man.
I did miss you guys.
We love our three man crew.
I got too many hot takes to get out there. So.
And hot takes are important. Mm-hmm. Got to have those. A lot of stuff to get into this week. We'll talk some Senior Bowl. We'll talk the Pro Bowl. Get ready for the Super Bowl. We'll go our picks to click, mock drafts, all that good stuff is out there. But let's start Senior Bowl with what happened over the weekend. And really the first time that you get an opportunity to see some of these college kids interact with other college kids where it's not just playing on their own team. A lot of the one-on-one drills we saw. And a name to me, and I don't know who you guys have that stood out the most, but Reggie Ragland's name continued to come up day after day, winning all the one-on-one battles. They do the individual pass rush drills. He played really well in the game. This is a kid that if you're a Falcon fan and you're looking at number 17, you're going, please let Reggie Ragland fall, because he's the type of football player you plug in, and whether it's outside, inside, heck, he could probably play nose tackle if you needed him to. He's just a pure football player.
He's an impact player. Like, he comes in immediately and makes an impact for you. He starts right away. That's kind of what you're looking for on the defensive side of the ball if you're the Falcons right now, because you've got a good foundation that you want to continue to build on that side of the ball. And Reggie Ragland, I mean, the credentials kind of speak for themselves. He's comes out of Nick Saban's program, so you know he's coached up really well. And, you know, when these guys get a chance to go against each other at the Senior Bowl, you're seeing them on the same level each other. So it's kind of nice to see, you know, how these guys will practice against each other. You know, sometimes you got some of these kids who come from smaller conferences or smaller teams or maybe double A or one double A or whatever the case may be. And you want to see them against that really good talent that's going to be available in the draft. And so it's a really good chance for coaches and scouts and everybody to get a look.
I think when I played in the Senior Bowl, there was
you notice how he starts out like that? Mm-hmm.
She's
like,
no.
Oh, you're going to sit there and opine on that. But when I played.
When I was there.
It goes to what I'm about to speak on, what you guys just talked about. And what you got, both of you guys talked about plugging guys in. I think that's big in what they expect from you at the Senior Bowl. And I remember when I was there, it wasn't more of what you can do on the field, because they've seen the tape, they've seen the film. Obviously, they want to see you compete against everybody else who's of that same caliber. But I think the biggest thing is they want to see what guys can retain information in a quick amount of time, because you're only there for a week and they throw so much stuff at you, and they want to see you go out there and see if you can comprehend everything and then go out and play. And you guys just talked about the main point of just being able to plug a guy in and play, and he still showed out in a way. We talked about Reggie Ragland, who showed out at the Senior Bowl. So I think that part of the game is just as much an impact on how people view these kids, just as much as what they do on the field. Because they talk to other coaches and they say, how is it in a meeting? How was he, you know, when you watched film? When you gave him these set of particular plays or you gave him this, how did they respond to it? When, you know, things didn't go well, how did they respond, you know, off the field? Those are all things that they look at. And I remember going through that process, and that's kind of one of the biggest things that I took away from it was they were watching you just as much off the field as they were on the field.
Right, and you bring up a really good point because you're, as a coach, you're getting a look at these guys in a very real-world situation. Like, if you were to draft any one of these guys – this is how they would handle their first week ultimately with your program, right? Because they're running an NFL-style defense or an NFL-style offense at the Senior Bowl, right?
So we did that with Rasheed. We saw him at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. And so while it may be a watered-down version, it's still an NFL playbook. And so you're really seeing what these guys are ultimately going to be able to bring to your franchise if they're able to – really absorb that information and apply it to the
field. And here's another thing. So, most guys are coached in a certain way, mm-hmm. and when you get on the field, they want to see how coachable is this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've been taught for all your life to do something a certain way, how to use your hands, how to use your feet, and you get out there and this coach is teaching you something different. How well do you take that coaching? Do you take it and apply it and try to use it, or do you say, forget that, I'm going to do what I've been doing the rest of my life? And people are going to watch that. Coaches are going to see that and say, okay, well, this guy's not coachable. We're mm-hmm. trying to teach him a different way, trying to teach him our way,
yeah.
and he doesn't want no part of it. That's part of it as well.
You know, some of that also has to do with, and I know the Falcons have advanced scouts and they have college scouts and guys that are out there, but for somebody like Thomas Dimitroff or Dan Quinn, it might be their first opportunity man-to-man to watch one of these guys perform. And for everything that you guys just talked about, how they interact with the media, because there's a lot of media down mm-hmm. there, there's a lot of availability for interviews, interacting with players that maybe aren't their boys, somebody that maybe you've gone against in another program, you have to deal with that. I want to go back to something Shock said about the film study. Mm-hmm. Do they suddenly look like Alvin Mack from the program? Tiger Golf Niner, what's your job? Mack, kill the quarterback. Tiger Golf Stinger, what's your quarterback? Kill everybody. Is that what they turn into?
That's that one of the great football movies of all time, by the
way. It was on the other night. It was awesome.
He always was. I got my little guy who's three. He's all about it. If it's on, he's watching it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of similar to that.
He just wants
to
see Halle Berry. Is all,
yeah, yeah.
All that. Which I don't blame him.
Yeah, not anymore.
Nothing wrong with that, man. You get a tutor like that, hey, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But, Autumn Haley, I think, was her name in that movie. Not that I stalk her. Anything, I'm just saying.
Remember her old name. But I think part of it is watching film. They ask you questions. They want you to know it. It's not to that a manner as it is on the program, but they give you a playbook when you first get there, mm-hmm. and then you have to go through the meetings, and they're asking you questions, and they want to see who's actually studied, who actually went to their room and is taking this seriously to go through it and answer some of the simple things of a playbook. And if guys are maybe don't know it or not really sure, they know those type of guys aren't taking it as serious as others.
How many guys down there, and I don't want you to name names because they're long since gone or maybe they're still in the NFL. How many guys get down there and don't realize yet that it's a job? Because that is your first real job interview. It's no longer, hey, I'm a college kid and I'm getting a scholarship and coach tells me to practice. Eh, whatever, I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend or whatever. You get down there, it is now a job interview. How many guys took that seriously? And were there people that just sat to the side and go, I don't need it?
Yeah, I think there's about 20% of the guys who took that kind of attitude.
That's higher than I expected, honestly.
Well, 20% of the guys that took it as – I'm good enough. They're gonna draft me.
I still think that's
and
really high.
I think, you know, 80% of the guys took it really serious. They really studied. They went really prepared like it was a big time game. But there were some guys who go to the Senior Bowl and they know they're first round guys.
Yeah.
And you know they don't take it as serious. You can tell they don't take it as serious. You know, everybody jokes around, but they just have that aura about them that I'm gonna get drafted regardless. You know they're gonna like me. So, and then you get that mind frame of. Which is true is I only need one team to like me.
Right.
So if, you know, that team don't like me or I didn't have a good meet with them, so, oh, well, there's another team that'll take me. And there was a handful of guys who were like that.
Mm. You know, it's really funny because you were talking about, you know, just some of these guys and how they prepare and all that. And when you get to – one of my favorite times is when you get to rookie minicamp the week after the draft and you have your rookies in here, your undrafted guys, the guys that you drafted, all in the same place, and you can tell which ones played in the Senior Bowl. Because while everybody out there is like looking at a football like they've never seen one before, the Senior Bowl guys are the ones who are picking it up the fastest. Yeah. They're the ones who mentally have kind of already been conditioned to be under these circumstances. And so I can see a lot of benefit to taking guys who have played in the Senior Bowl. I think anytime you get a chance to take a guy who's got that extra year of playing time in college under mm-hmm. his belt, I think automatically, I mean, talent is talent and all those different things, and there's a lot of different variables that go into it. But
it's really your first taste of the National Football League.
Yeah.
Because you're competing, you're practicing against guys who are going to be in the National Football League. It's not college anymore. Mm-hmm. You're getting coached by coaches who were just coaching a couple weeks before in the game. So these are real live coaches. These are real guys you're going to go against next year in the National Football League. So this is their first taste of it. So I think they have the mind frame of, I've already done this. Yeah. I know what this feels like. I know how they're going to coach me. I know how they're going to try to prepare me. So it's their first live action to say, hey, I'm in the National Football League now.
Now, one of the things that really stood out to me in that game was just, and in practices leading up, is the defensive line crop mm-hmm. coming into this draft is impressive.
Yeah.
Really impressive. And you know, there was Sheldon Rankins, who you know, the defensive tackle out of Louisville, who got hurt at the Senior Bowl and didn't play in the Senior Bowl, but, man, he was throwing guys around for a long time during practices at the start of the week. And then a guy that caught my eye was this Vernon Butler kid out of Louisiana Tech. And that's what I love about the Senior Bowl is you get a chance to see some of these guys that you're not seeing on national TV on Saturdays. You know, you're seeing some of this talent that has really been hidden during their college careers. And to see somebody from a Louisiana Tech come in and just push around guys from Alabama or Auburn or, you know, any of the SEC schools is really impressive. And I think that only helps
that's
the kids draft.
That's the guys who take it really seriously. Those yeah. are guys who have yeah. that chip on their shoulder.
Because they have to.
Because everybody yeah. says, oh, he's from a small school. He's not used to playing in this type of competition. And that makes those guys want to go out and prove themselves even more. So they play a little bit above maybe their talent, or maybe they are that talent and just happen to play at a smaller school. So those type of players, like you mentioned, are the guys that builds your team, that really give you that depth, that give you what you're looking for when you go to the Senior Bowl and you're looking for guys in the draft that usually you probably don't see every week on CBS or ESPN.
Now, the guy I want to ask you about, though, is this name was very popular last week, and I don't want – I mean to put you on the spot, but Braxton Miller –
yeah.
is a guy who is making a lot of noise, and not first-round noise.
And he says he wants to play here, by the way.
He does. He wants to help Julio Jones. That's what he says. But you think about the guys that are making noise this time of year, and it's always the first-rounders, right? Well, this kid could go anywhere from, you know, second round to fourth or fifth in some people's eyes. And so he's got, you know, the quarterback pedigree, and he's changing over to wide receiver, but it looks like he's going to be a weapon there. Can you even imagine going through a transition like that?
Well, you know what? I think what helps him is his versatility, like you mentioned, being mm-hmm. able to play both positions. And I think that coaches will take that into mind frame. And when I think about Braxton Miller, I put him in the mold of a Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb came out of, you know, Kentucky, did a little bit of everything. It kind of transferred when he got to Green Bay, and he kind of took off. It took him a year or two. But you can tell his athleticism allows him to play at a different level. Obviously, he's still learning the nuances of it. And I couldn't imagine going from quarterback and going to receiver where you're running all the time. You got to worry about, you know, guys hitting you and all that kind of stuff and coming in and out of routes. And he's so athletic that I think somebody will take a chance on him and say, we can use him one way or another.
Absolutely.
Especially the way offenses like to be so multiple. There's right. so many things you can do with this guy at quarterback. You can use him at receiver. You can use him at tailback like they do with Randall Cobb. The thing about Braxton Miller that's going to make him that special is because he's versatile. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You got to love a guy who played the quarterback position and then goes to receiver because you automatically know he has the mind frame.
Yeah.
Right. You know he understands what defenses are trying to do. And you can say, all right, here's what we want you to do on this particular route because of this particular coverage. And he knows from his quarterback days, this is what they're trying to do to stop you. I know where the zone's at. I know where the leverage of the corners or the linebackers are playing. That makes him that much more special. It makes him that much more of a commodity for other teams to say, hey, we need to take a real good look at him because of his versatility.
And he's got another thing that I know that Dan Quinn is always looking for, and that's speed.
Mm.
He's got
a lot
speed,
of,
too.
Got a lot of it, too.
A lot of it.
Another name that came out just real briefly, you're talking quarterbacks, Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people – if you don't watch North Dakota State, and you should, the Bison are really darn good. Yeah. They won 5-6 national titles
yeah,
in a
crazy.
Row. I mean, it's insane what they're doing at the FCS level. This kid's being compared to Joe Flacco, and in a very positive way. 6'5", 6'6", can throw it. can make all of the throws. He missed about half of this past season with injury. Comes back in time for the national title game, and of course they win, whatever it's 5, 6, 8, 15 in a row. They're like Mountain Union, FCS level Mountain right Union. About now. So they continue to go out and do a bunch of things. But Carson Wentz's name is a guy that 2 weeks ago, before the Senior Bowl, probably was graded second round. I've seen mock drafts top with him 10. Is now in the top five.
Yeah.
Potentially going third or fourth overall. It's insane.
This time of year is so crazy to me, and it's one of my favorites for a lot of reasons. But, you know, you look at mock drafts and the so-called experts and who put out these mocks and what they look like in February versus what they look like when we get into April is just amazing. I remember a couple of years ago, everybody was saying in February, Daquan Bowers was going to be the number one overall pick. He's the best player in the draft, blah, blah,
easily,
blah.
Yeah.
Falls all the way into the second round, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing how things can change so quickly and how things like the Senior Bowl and things like the Combine, which we'll be coming up to later this month, really help some of these guys who, again, you don't see on national television on Saturdays. You really get a sense of, can this guy come in despite going from, you know, big fish, small pond to being a very small fish in a potentially big pond? Can they come in and respond and play well?
And it's one of those same stories where like you just mentioned, if you're in a position where you haven't seen much of him, then you finally see him and you're like, where'd this kid come from? The ball's popping off his hand. He's putting it on guys. He's walking around with that sense of, I belong here. And I think that goes a long way for players like a Carson Wentz, who gets to go out and compete against the guys who are on national television every week. Right. And he comes out and he looks like he should have been playing with these guys.
Yeah.
And it only takes a day. It only takes a day and a half for those so-called experts to see him, throw a couple good passes, and all of a sudden, bam, he's at the top of my list, and then he takes off from there. All he has to do is continue that. And now, you look at the only thing he can do is get better now from that. He's going to have his own pro day, whether he decides to throw it to combine. But a guy like him, we talked about, who comes from a smaller school, they're going to have that chip on their shoulder. So they're going to want to compete at the combine.
Right.
They want to throw against the top quarterbacks or the top, you know, receivers, whoever coming out. They want to be competing against those guys to show them, hey, I belong exactly where you are. I could have played at your level, but guess what? This is a chance for me to show that. And then he's going to get to his last time they get to see him in his pro day, and he's going to have a scripted amount of plays, and then that's going to be another situation where they say, okay, everything's scripted, but he killed it. He crushed it. And that's going to be the last time they see him. He can skyrocket up just like that, like you mentioned, to the top five.
To a large extent, if I'm a scout, There's a big part of me that just wants to throw out the college name. Like, I don't even care where they went to college, because if they are good enough for me to take a look at to get to the next level, that's all that really matters. Now, you got to look at tape and you got to look at the competition level, and I understand that. But just in years of covering sports from high school to college, Division III, all that, before I came here, I know that there is a variety of reasons why a very talented player may not be playing in the SEC, may not be playing single, you know, 1A,
right.
Maybe playing double A, maybe playing Division III, may have gone the JUCO route to start out, go to VMI for a little bit. You know, there are so many reasons why very talented players take very different routes, whether it's grades or family or money or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you can find really good talent at some of these small schools just because of how things work out in a guy's past.
I was going to say, read the article, and I think it was this week, may have been SI or somebody, that said the curious case of Aaron Rodgers. Because the National Signing Day just passed, and congratulations to all the kids locally that signed a college scholarship, whether it's the University of Georgia or whether it's a D3 school.
Yeah.
Take that chance. Go out and be the best you can. Because if the NFL, if you can play, they are going to find you. We've seen that for time in memoriam. They can find you no matter where you're playing. So congratulations to all the kids there. But the story was about Aaron Rodgers, who could not get a scholarship offer coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is arguably, I don't even know if there's much an argument, the best quarterback in the National Football League, and he has been for the last 4 or 5 years. He had to go JUCO for 2 years before Cal took a shot on him. He went out there. Remember, he was a guy that should have gone number one instead of Alex Smith. Ends up falling down into the 20s because some teams up top took Ronnie Brown and Carnell Williams and all these other guys. Yep. And Aaron Rodgers got a chance to sit, and now he's probably the best quarterback in the league. So to Jay's point, They'll find you. But yeah, look for that article. It's really interesting talking about Aaron Rodgers.
And talking about the quarterback position, one thing that I know scouts look at it, sometimes we talked about, they look at the film, and that tells them a lot too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're playing against lesser competition that people may think it may be, some things that they look at is, okay, is this guy anticipating throws? Right. You can see him coming up to the line of scrimmage, audibling, getting his team in and out of different plays. They can see the different type of throws that you make in a game. They can see that kind of stuff on film that shows him, regardless of competition, this works versus any competition. Mm-hmm. And if a guy has that kind of cerebral nature, of course, when you go to the combine, they're going to put you up on the board. They're going to meet with you. They're going to bring you to Flowery Branch, and they're going to, you know, they're going to dissect you every way or another. They're going to know if you have the tools to be a top five quarterback. Yeah. Obviously, there's some, you know, times where you miss out on some guys, but overall, they're going to do their due diligence regardless of what school you're from. They will find you, or they will make sure they know exactly what you're about.
I mean, look at some guys like at Terrell Owens, like an Andre Reed coming out of Kutztown. I mean, there are just some – the NFL is so weird like that where, you know, it does become kind of like an equal playing field for some of these guys who
had the talent. Brent Grimes from Shippensburg.
Yeah, Shippensburg.
When we was here, I was like, dude, I've never heard of Shippensburg. Right. He's been to the Pro Bowl numerous amounts of time. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's just all about the talent and how you perform.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And that's why these workouts, these – the combines, the all-star games, I think, prove invaluable because you get to start to see some of the cream rising to the top of it.
Real quick, and this is completely off what we were talking about, but you mentioned Terrell Owens. Saturday, they'll have an opportunity to vote on who's going to go to the Hall of Fame this year. Mike Martz came out and said, hey, wait a second, Terrell Owens shouldn't be in, you know, before an Isaac Bruce or a Torrey Holt. Mm. Couldn't disagree anymore. This guy's like number two or number three in everything. I know off the field, maybe he was a little bit wild. Maybe in the locker room he wasn't the best teammate, but that guy's unbelievable.
It's a shame that his personality off the field was so disagreeable to people that that's all they focus on when they think of him, because he did amazing things in the NFL.
Yeah.
Just amazing things.
I get really aggravated. And I know we had the Baseball Hall of Fame vote maybe a month ago, and I went on a rant on local radio saying, you know, it's ridiculous that there's writers that won't put people in unanimously. There were three voters that didn't. Who's the guy that finished with all but three votes this year?
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. Three people just decided our agenda is to keep this guy out. There was never – Ken Griffey Jr. was never tied to steroids, never was an unlikable player, put up some of the greatest numbers in baseball history, but you have three idiots in the media that are doing this. You're going to have people in the NFL Hall of Fame voting that are going to do the same thing for somebody like Terrell Owens.
Yeah, they are, and probably more so because he, you know, and this is why this is a whole other discussion, but is the media the best group of people that should be voting on this kind of stuff? Because you get some biases, you know. I think Falcons fans, to bring it back to you know, Atlanta, a lot of Falcons fans wonder why Tommy Nobis isn't in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Tommy is unfortunately a victim of a couple of different things. I mean, tackling wasn't really a stat that was kept all that well or accurately during that time. The sack wasn't really a thing back then. And the other thing is that if you've ever met Tommy, Tommy's a great guy, but he's a little gruff. And when he dealt with the media, he was not the quote machine that you would want him to be. And those personal vendettas get in the way of somebody voting for him or going to bat for that
person.
Which
is ridiculous.
So, and it should never be that way.
Ultimately, it comes down to what you saw on the field.
And it's a darn shame, and I hate that it comes down to stuff like that, because it just ruins kind of the legacy of some of these guys.
Yeah, next week we'll definitely talk about some more Hall of Fame, because the class will be announced.
And Morton Anderson's got a shot.
He's got a shot. I've said for a few years, put him in.
A play with Morton Anderson.
Not one other player in NFL history leads two different franchises in points scored.
My thing is, players on the field are all equal.
Sure.
We always talk about this being a team game. Morton Anderson won a heck of a lot. The biggest win in the history of this franchise was on the back of Morton Anderson's leg.
Yeah.
If Gary Anderson hits a kick, it doesn't come down to that. Morton Anderson does, and they obviously go to the Super Bowl.
The longevity and everything. There's just so many reasons why.
He's the greatest at that position, and there's no reason to keep him.
Right.
And we'll have that same argument when Devin Hester comes up years from now.
Yeah.
He's the greatest at that position.
The numbers tell what's exactly what it is.
By the time he gets up for Pro Football Hall of Fame voting, that may be a dead position.
Yeah.
You could see where kickoffs are just completely out of the game by now.
Yeah.
So then you're talking about a position.
And then punters are doing the same now. They can kick it away. They kick it high. They kick it whatever. Right. So they're taking that part of the aspect of the game out.
But that's why I love a couple of years ago, you know, Ray Guy really kind of broke the ceiling for some of these special teams guys. Because there's another guy that just from my background.
Steve Tasker
needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Should be.
It is a crime that he is not in the Hall of Fame. So some of these guys need to get their due.
Just slippery.
Yeah,
even you can make a point for a guy like a Don Beebe, who did kind of the same thing. He was overshadowed a little
other
bit.
Other than that helmet. Does he have the big double helmet on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think he wore that in Green Bay, though.
It looked like was it Kazoo that you used to wear?
Yeah.
Marvin the Martian. Now, the Pro Bowl teams actually looked like Martians with some of the outfits they had on.
They were cool.
They actually were nice. I liked them. There was a great article talking about the growth of the Pro Bowl uniform, and they chronicled the last 50 years. Boy, there were some ugly Pro Bowl uniforms. But it wasn't ugly for Team Irvin, who basically took the entire Atlanta Falcons roster.
Yeah.
They pick up a win 49-27. Julio with a big game. Devontae with a touchdown.
Russell Wilson was glad he had the Falcons on his side.
He had some offensive weapons for once that could actually do things. But how cool was it at the end of the game for them to get guys in other positions? Richard Sherman running the ball.
Yes.
Devontae
had a chance to get a pick.
could Richard Smith throw him over there, maybe play some nickel? Is that okay?
Good. He looked good.
You know why? Them Florida boys, we know how to play everything.
There they go.
But this is what I love about football in general, because you've got these guys. You think of Richard Sherman, he's a cornerback. Well, in high school, he might have been a running back. He might have been a wide receiver or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to talk about, well, the Pro Bowl is just kind of a garbage game, and it's why play it, because they don't play hard and all this other stuff. What they need to do is exactly what they were doing at that Pro Bowl, because that was fun to watch.
Right? Yeah.
Fun to watch Charles Woodson line up at wide receiver or
Odell Beckham back there at safety.
Odell Beckham back at safety. They had, a lineman in the back. Who was in the backfield at one point? It's just get that stuff going, and that's fun to watch.
The only fear with that, and Robert Edwards, I got to know Rob a little bit, and I know you know Robert Edwards pretty well. The fear with doing that is somebody getting seriously hurt. Now, granted, Rob was hurt in a beach football game. It was a freak injury.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's something they obviously, from that point on, they never played flag football on the beach. But the fear is if you have, just say, Devontae Freeman playing corner, and he comes up to tackle somebody and blows out a shoulder or something.
Well, so that's the difference. You saw how different he played when he got over to corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's running around tackling people like it's the playoffs. And so it changes the mindset a little bit, because guys like, oh, I got to prove myself at this position. But I thought it was fun.
He actually made a tackle over there on the sideline.
Yeah, he
tried to slam a guy. You see him getting up, running away. He looked so funny running away.
He tackled. Yeah, it was Chris Ivory. He just slammed him right to the ground.
He's a former Saint. He deserved to be slammed to the ground.
All the other defenders were waiting for him to just kind of run out of bounds, and here comes Devontae.
Right, full tilt. Get in the stat sheet, man.
Those guys from down there, they remember Sean Taylor, the late, great Sean Taylor, when he hit, was it Brian Mormon, the punter for Buffalo?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Who ended up like nine rows in the first
round. Mormon still doesn't know what day it is after that.
They had to tell Sean, they're like, dude, it's the Pro Bowl. Don't kill
Sean,
the punter.
Excuse me.
Come on, man, relax.
It's like Ronnie Lott would play the same exact way in the Pro Bowl. It's amazing.
That's what made it fun. The rest of the game was whatever.
It was fun, though, to see the Falcons be involved as heavily as they were. You know, I saw
they gave my boy DeMarco the ball like three, four straight times.
And the one guy you didn't hear anything about was Trufant, and that's because they weren't testing him. Right. Even in the Pro Bowl, they didn't want to throw his way. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch our guys be so involved in it. And, a couple of years ago, Julio played one play and then benched himself, and so to see him play a little bit more was a lot of fun. And
my only issue with the Pro Bowl has become too many guys pull out of it. And I understand there's injuries at the end. They're not, because the game is now played before the Super Bowl, you're not going to have the Super Bowl participants be in it, which I think they should wait till after the season.
I do too, yeah.
Guys like Cam Newton and Josh Norman and Luke Kuechly, as much as we may not be fans of them because they're in our division, we still want to see them play. They're the best players in the game.
My boy Thomas Davis, his first
year to make the Pro Bowl and can't go. That's a shame. Yeah. It should never be done that way. It's,
No offense to Jameis Winston. He shouldn't have been in the Pro Bowl.
Right.
You're the third, fifth, ninth alternate, whatever. You shouldn't be there.
But here's my thing. Like, you know, if it's not going to be an all-star game with the best players, just get the players that want to go.
Yeah.
If Jameis Winston wants to go,
put him out there.
Put him out there. I would love to see him throwing against, whoever.
Well, it's like, who was the guy in hockey that fans voted in? You know hockey better than I do. The big goon that ended up winning the All-Star Game MVP.
John Scott.
Yeah. He wanted to be there. I mean, it's awesome. The fans voted him in. The NHL tried to keep him out.
Tried everything they could to keep him out.
And then he wins the MVP.
That's what I want to see. I want to see the guys that want
to
go.
Sean Renfrey wants to go to the Pro Bowl. Let him go.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Heck, I'll line up in the trenches if they'll let me go.
All right, give me a free trip to Hawaii. I'm in there.
DJ go.
I'm in there.
Shock a warm up. It'll be Team Archer against Team Shockley.
No doubt.
Falcons Radio Network going against each other.
Get it.
For sure. Now,
speaking of big uglies and guys that could be drafted, the mock drafts continue to roll in. It's that time of the year where you're going to see a different mock draft about once every 3 days. And I'm not hating on the Todd McShays or the Mel Kuypers of the world. They get paid really well to do that. How accurate are they? Not so much. I put together a mock draft the last 2 years and hit more picks exactly than Mel Kiper has. And I'm not kidding. Now, I'm not going to do a 7-round because I don't live in my mom's basement and I have your life. But the point is you'll see these everywhere. And people are now starting to put out 4, 6, 7-round drafts, which, again, you have way too much time on your hand to do this. Kevin Dodd, Shaq Lawson, Reggie Ragland, names that I continue to see where the Falcons are picking. I've seen wide receiver as well, which I don't know how the fan base would feel. Jay, I'll start with you. Today, who would you want? Again, this is 4 months down the road. Not even who. What position do you want to fill if you had one at number 17?
You know, I think in an ideal world, you want to get that. You want to get another pass rusher. You got to get another pass rusher somewhere, whether it's in free agency or where. I think we're all at the point where you can't have enough possible pass rushers.
We saw what Denver did. No, you can't have enough.
Right, exactly. So, but looking at the inside linebacker crop, I know that's an area that the team's going to want to try to upgrade a little bit. The middle of the field was a big issue for the Falcons this year. You know, teams were struggling to go deep on them. You couldn't run on the Falcons, but that 8 to 13 yard window was wide open. So you've got to find maybe a linebacker who can do some of those coverage things, who can stop the run. And that's why I look at a guy like Reggie Ragland. I know that some people question his range when it comes to coverage, but I don't know. I think we're splitting hairs there. I think he's got all the talent in the world to do that kind of stuff. So that's my guy right now, but I know that you've got to hope some dominoes fall your way in order for him to be there.
For me, I've gone back and forth between O-line and D-line, but I'm in the interior part of all O-line and D-line, because obviously that's where a lot of games are won. You look at our division, and a lot of teams have good up front play. I think I'm going to stay up front on the defensive line, and a guy who I've seen a lot of film this year of and watched him play is just Shaq Lawson, who every time you see him, he is, he's making a play. He's making his presence known. He's big. He's physical. He does a good job. He's very athletic. He can get upfield. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run. I think we need somebody else inside who can push that pocket. I think Vic is going to get better in his second year in rushing the passer. So you get another guy on the inside to push that pocket. I know we're getting a lot of Clemson guys around here, but there's no problem with that.
Defensive line.
But if that's what we need to push the pocket, we saw Grady come on towards the end of the year, start to do a better job. But I think that is a key position for us to be able to push the middle of the pocket, especially with the type of quarterbacks that are in this league right now.
Right.
With obviously Jameis and Cam, who, if they're inside the pocket and have all day, they're going to get you Drew Brees the same way. So I think Shaq Lawson is a guy who sticks out for me, that I feel like if we can find a spot for him to really grow, he can be very dynamic in this system.
I like that, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just look at a move that the Saints actually made last year in the draft in getting Stephon Anthony in the middle there, and how
he was legit.
And I don't know that he's ever going to be like a Patrick Willis where, like, you fear going up against this guy. But, man, he's going to be good. He's going to be solid. Mm-hmm. He's going to be dependable at that spot.
He can run.
He can run. He can cover. He can do it all. That kid's going to be a thorn in our side for years. I would like to see something like that, eventually occur here on defense?
My answer will be more cop-out-ish, but maybe you'll understand when I kind of go through it. Obviously, free agency comes up first, and I think and I believe that Thomas and company will address the interior of the offensive line there. There's a lot of names. Ben Jones is a guy that I talked about on radio. Alex Boone from the Niners, another one. These are affordable guys that are going to be out there and available and all that stuff. So, you can figure out what you're going to do with that. I think you'll address interior offensive line. There are pass rushers that are out there, depending on how much you want to spend that you can. My answer is you take best available on your board regardless of position.
Let's go on the D-led route.
And that's something that I haven't always been a believer in. Sometimes I would say, hey, you need a D-lineman. Come hell or high water, you go out and get a defensive lineman. And that sometimes hasn't worked for the best interest of the football team. Jamal Anderson, not the Dirty Bird, O.J. Santiago's the original Dirty Bird, the second Dirty Bird in Jamal Anderson. I'm talking about the defensive lineman that was drafted. You could have drafted Patrick Willis right afterwards, a guy that would have started for 10 years in the league and been a star for you. You got to go best available. And if that means wide receiver is the best available player at that time on your board, you go get it because it fills a need.
Yep.
Obviously, you're not going to go running back or quarterback because those are positions you don't need. But anywhere else, whether it's D-tackle, safety,
I don't think you can go wrong there because if you look at all those positions, we need another guy at any of those three levels of D-line, like you mentioned, linebacker. You talk about linebackers, having guys who can run around. Safety, you talk about guys in the middle. Like, if we get anybody from those three, I don't think anybody could be mad and say, guess what? We did need that.
Even if you've got a cornerback that's sitting there. I mean, you would have Trufant, Alford, Collins, who you hope it comes along a little bit, and then whoever this rookie would be. I mean,
this is a 3-4 receiver league. I mean, that's what happens. You need 3-4 good corners. A lot of teams just have two.
I'm like you in that I've never really subscribed to the BPA theory, but I've been coming around to it here the last couple of years. And it makes a lot of sense, especially when you start looking back and seeing, well, you know, if you would have considered so-and-so the best player at the time, you passed on him and ended up with a guy who may not be in the league.
And obviously we're not privy to what goes on in the war room or the draft room on draft day. None of us get a chance to look at the board and see how they have guys ranked. It would be fascinating to me, and I know no team, and especially here, would ever do that, but afterwards, to just see the list. What's your you know, we'll do a fantasy football draft, and we all have an idea. This is 1 through 10 who are 1 through 30 who we want. I'd love to see them break down by positions. This is 1 through 10. Here's my master list. And do they honestly go, all right, this guy's the best player that's available at number 17. We had him rated number 8 on our board. And I know wide receiver's not our number one need, but we're going to take him because he's the best guy we have. Or do they subscribe to what I think a lot of fans do and say, we need pass rush, we need linebacker, this is where we're going.
But here's another thing to think about. Even if they are the best player available, do they fit what you like to do? Do they fit your offensive or defensive scheme to say, okay, yeah, he's a good player, but he doesn't really fit what we like to do. He doesn't really conform, or he doesn't really run or move the way that we like to have guys moving. Maybe you have a big physical offensive lineman, but guess what? In this kind of offense, you know, you want a guy who is a little bit more mobile, a guy who can, you know, pull and get around and kick guys out. And sometimes that's the kind of – I think that's the kind of middle ground that they have sometimes is, yes, he's the best available, but – maybe he's not the best available for us and what we want to do.
Right, that's true. I mean, you know, I look at the draft a couple of years ago when Houston was the number one overall pick, and there were a lot of different directions that they could go with that pick, and ultimately, and they had a lot of needs, and quarterback being number one at the time, and it turns out they still need a quarterback. but they went with Jadeveon Clowney. Right. Now, hindsight is always 20/20, but in that situation, that's a place where maybe BPA didn't work out for them.
Right.
And that puts you in a hole for later on. So there's a lot to think about. Nothing is ever certain.
No.
Right. I think that's the, you know, blame gets tossed around for a lot of different reasons.
Because I think at that time, if you look at Clowney, everybody's sick. I mean, come on. This guy is kind of unblockable.
Slam dunk,
I mean,
pick.
It looks like he will work out. He's going to get a lot of one-on-ones.
Khalil Mack was the one that you were going to take a chance on. Right. Because he went to UB.
Yeah.
Now look at it.
Yeah, and it's baller. Completely switched over. We've obviously got a lot of time to talk about the draft as we'll get closer to that, but we'll kind of give you some mocks along the way. Got to have fun with these. Maybe I'll even wear a Mel Kiper wig as we get closer to the draft.
Put the stash on, everything.
Well, I got the full beard going right now.
I like it.
All right, it's time now to break with Bosek. Bo, it's been a while. I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we We missed you last week.
I know, I missed you guys.
Glad you're feeling better, able to talk.
Always a good thing. I was going to come in and just go,
I'm doing a little something different this week.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. We hear you fine.
Okay, cool. Great.
So instead of asking a question, I'm going to tell you three facts.
Okay.
Two of them are going to be true. One's going to be a lie.
Ooh.
Okay.
So we have to
determine which one's a lie, which one's the truth?
Yep.
Ooh. There's this podcast I listen to. They do something like this, and they call it One True Three.
Ooh, one that's true clever. Three.
Nice. That's
very nice.
That is clever.
So we're all going to get a chance to say, is it true or a lie? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So you're going to read them first, and then we discuss.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Are we kind of with our own individual, or you want
to
as a group?
You can do each individual.
Okay, cool.
I want some debate. A woman found her wedding ring on a carrot growing in her backyard 16 years after misplacing it. That's the first one. Second one. A man wrestled a 7-foot shark to retrieve the severed arm of his nephew. After saving the boy, the man dived back in, seized the shark, and wrestled it to shore where a ranger shot it. The arm was pried from its gullet, put on ice, rushed to the hospital, and successfully sewed back on.
Looks like you're smiling when you said that.
That's the second one.
What on earth are we
talking
about?
Third one.
Who
a billionaire has his own taxi cab company with just one cab so he can legally use the bus lanes and avoid traffic jams.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Those are the three.
So the first one is a lady finds a carrot from 16 years ago.
16 and had her wedding ring growing on top of it.
Okay. The second one was the guy dove in to save an arm with a shark. And the third one was a bit. I'm going to go with a billionaire being a lie. Because I don't think taxis are allowed in the bus lane.
So we're going to try to do something here. So you lose a wedding ring while you're gardening. And then 16 years later, suddenly there's a carrot that grows with your ring on it.
I'd say that's true.
That must be a gigantic carrot. Or just the dumbest of luck.
Because if it fell in the dirt, I think a carrot can grow underneath it and pop it out.
So
I don't think that's far-fetched.
I don't know.
I don't think that's far-fetched.
Really?
I don't.
16 years?
Yeah. I don't think it's far-fetched.
I know I'd be a mad husband if she lost the ring.
Right. So you're going false? You're going false.
I'm trying to work my way through this. Bo wanted some debate, so that's what I'm trying to do there. The shark thing.
It's so far-fetched, it's probably true.
Right.
Immediately, I thought it was true.
But he wrestled the shark to the shore, and then they were able to get the arm out. Is that right?
My thing is he dove back in. No shark is just sitting there waiting, like parading with the arm going, hey, what's up, man?
Oh, you're
had
back.
Your arm, bro.
Like Nana and Boo Boo?
Yeah. I might change my mind. I think the shark is fake.
It's so crazy, right?
The taxi cab one. What's crazy is that two of these are true.
that is the crazy part.
I actually believe the taxi cab thing.
But if you were a billionaire and you wanted to get somewhere fast, why wouldn't you just have a
helicopter? Or a jet.
But you can't do that all the time. I mean, what if you just want to land somewhere in the city? And
what city was this? Does it say the city?
No city.
So if it's New York City, it's not going to matter one way or the other. The traffic's terrible, and they don't have taxi bus lanes in New York City.
Nothing I know.
But I can't say that it's New York City because we don't know that.
All right, I've changed my vote. The shark thing.
He's done.
There's no way a guy dove back in the water, caught the shark, got it on shore where a ranger shot it on the beach. You're talking about a guy pulling out a gun in front of potentially people on the beach.
You say he wrestled the shark to shore?
Yes.
Yep.
And the guy's arm was glued back on, or I guess not glued back on.
You know what?
He was sewed back on.
He didn't say how big the shark was. It was like a baby shark?
7 foot.
7 foot.
Oh, he did.
7 foot bull shark.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're not beating up. You're not bringing a bull shark to shore without
a rod
and reel.
No,
I'm going. I'm going with the first one is not true.
All right.
I say the other two.
Me and Jay Mike are second one, and you're going with the first one.
What are you going with?
What
do you know?
Well, he already knows the
answer. So I'll tell you guys. All right. The carrot one. 16 years later, that's true.
Oh.
Yeah!
I don't know. That was somewhere in, like, Europe or something.
Yeah!
I'm already on.
Okay.
A man wrestled a 7-foot shark, retrieved the arm. True.
No!
I'll have to send you guys the article. It's pretty
crazy. No way!
It's pretty crazy.
We should have stuck with it. It was so bizarre it had to be true.
The last one, that's kind of also true. I just changed millionaire to billionaire.
Uh-huh.
To make it not true?
Yeah,
so a millionaire did it?
Yeah. They were all crazy to me. I had to show them off.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, the last one was a lie. But still, pretty crazy.
The last one was a lie, huh?
Yep. See, my original guess was the billionaire, and then I changed it to the shark. Yeah. You got to send me that shark article.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it.
That's
incredible. That is outright. How big was this guy? Was this guy the Hulk or something? I don't
know. Was it Rambo?
You know, I watch that show River Monsters a lot, and they show how strong fish are in the water.
Yeah.
We have no chance in the water against a fish. Like, zero.
No, you're in their world.
Yeah, you're going to lose every single time. You catch, like, a 20-pound catfish, you're not going to win in the water.
No.
Better have a rod and reel.
People that go noodling. Do you know what noodling is?
Those people are idiots.
Never heard of noodle?
What's a noodle? You go into a swamp.
Like in Arkansas, you'll go into a river.
Swamp or river. You have to be wearing jean shorts, apparently.
Yeah. No shirt.
Seems to be
some jorts.
No shirt, some jorts. You go into the river. You're not taking your rod out there. You're taking your hand in the water. You're sticking it into caves. Under the, you know, little areas where a fish could hide, and you're getting the catfish to bite your arm,
and
so you can
out.
Grab it from its insides and pull it out.
Yep.
What?
Noodling.
People do this.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Bite your arm?
Yeah.
Bite your arm.
And then the guys your will come out with bloody arms.
Yep.
Why?
Because they want to catch catfish.
Oh, no.
There's another way. There's got to be another way.
Yeah, it got to be a better way.
Yeah, it's called chicken gizzards and a hook.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What's wrong with sitting on the dock and just, you know,
having a cold one? What's wrong with finding something else you can stick in there and pull it out with? Come on, that's crazy.
You got to look that up. Look it up online.
Noodling.
Oh, it's awesome. And there's women out there doing it.
Oh, yeah.
These people have under the substances.
They're all wearing cut-off jorts.
Yeah.
All have on jorts.
All of them.
The women do have tops on mostly.
Yeah. So. But all there's the other, they got jorts on.
You ever heard of noodling?
No.
No?
This is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Video of the week next week, noodling.
Who thought that would be okay?
I'm writing that down.
I don't know. People with too much time.
You still can, cut your arm. They can bite your arm off.
Well, they can't bite them off, but they put a nice gash.
They hurt. Yeah. They would hurt.
These guys are catching some 30- and 40-pound catfish.
Fish, man.
Noodling. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
People have died doing it.
I bet they have.
Reach in and grab the wrong thing.
Not dying for no
catfish. All right, what do we have as video of the week? It's not catfish this week, but it's a bird. No,
it's not. Yeah, that's the clue, right? Bird.
Right.
Yeah, bird.
All right, bird.
Bird in the
midnight. There we go.
Bird in the midnight.
That's
about
drone. This is a drone. I've seen this. This is awesome.
Okay, here you go. So a lot of people like to fly drones, but they're starting to get illegal.
And annoying.
You need to have a pilot license or something. So this is a new technique they're going with to catch them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
awesome.
Give me
that little dude.
That's an eagle, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think it's
a hawk. I don't know.
And then they can grab it without hitting a little propeller, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to hurt. It's talons, right?
Probably. Nah, those
talons.
Those
birds are awesome.
Those things are tough.
He just goes, give me this.
See ya.
It's phenomenal.
He just snaps.
He takes it to the side and he goes, I'm going to discard of this over there.
Big that bird is, before, man. If I was flying one and all of a sudden a bird came and take it, I would be pissed.
Yeah, those things are cheap.
I'm not sure that anybody can just get a drone. So
for those of you that are listening on iTunes and have no idea what we're talking about, there's a guy flying a drone.
Yes.
Like a video drone. Some sort of bird comes out.
A Philadelphia eagle that comes in and...
comes over the war eagle pterodactyl. From
Auburn. Yeah. A pterodactyl flew in.
And just swoops up the drone.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's it. That's
it's pretty awesome.
It's the video of the week.
But apparently they're training them, aren't they?
Yeah,
yes. Training them to get the drones.
Netherlands, somewhere up there.
They have nothing better.
See a drone and attack the drone.
Maybe, why didn't they have the bird find the ring? That would have worked out a lot better.
Yeah, it wouldn't have taken him 16 years.
They have a picture of that one, too.
So obviously,
growing on top of the carrot.
When Jay gets married, his wife cannot pull that trick on him.
No.
I'm not believing that you
lost it. Oh, I lost at gardening, and then 16 years later.
What's the gardener's name? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, the embarrassing part of the program for me has been since week one. Picks to click.
Best part of the week.
Our championship predictions. I've long since been eliminated. I didn't make it out of the divisional round, although I did win two, and I won't finish in dead last. But it comes down to Super Bowl Sunday. DJ Shockley, Jay Adams, they will meet in the middle of the squared circle like WrestleMania 30, which will go to, where's WrestleMania this year? At Jerry World in Dallas, Texas, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Winner takes all.
Oh,
DJ yeah. as the Denver Broncos. Jay Adams, the hated, your heel. Carolina Panthers. You guys did a good job.
Oh, thank you very much.
I hope DJ wins. Yeah. I want DJ to win this title. I don't want
it. Who did you pick first, DJ? Did you have Arizona?
Arizona.
Ooh.
Arizona pooped on herself.
You took second with Carolina. You took third with Seattle. Then I came back with
some
Green Bay.
Team.
And then then I had the first pick of the AFC, and instead of taking Denver or New England, I took Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Little did I know that Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and everybody else would be hurt. Yeah. Damn you, Pittsburgh.
It's a great pick by you. First pick, you actually bombed in your first pick.
Can you
first
guys,
overall pick?
I didn't have first overall. I picked fourth.
In the AFC.
Yeah, I tried to make up for the fact that I had the worst NFC pick. Trying to take a wild card team that could go away.
Can you guys believe that after Sunday, like, that's the 2015 season is gone?
No.
That's it.
I can't believe
that. No more football until August.
Done.
Just made that depressing.
We're going to find a way to have football around here.
Oh, yeah, we have football because it's called free agency for a month and a half.
We got the combine.
We got lots to talk about.
We got the combines coming up.
Lots to talk about.
That we're going
to
participate.
Are we going to participate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got something.
Can I get medically cleared from Dr. Karras?
No.
Oh, so I just have to go for it.
You're just watching.
No, I'm going to participate.
You know what we got to do?
Absolutely participate.
We're going to let you take the test so you don't do anything else.
Okay, here's what are we going to do?
Do the Wonderlic.
Do the Wonderlic.
Before we give our Super Bowl predictions. What are the parameters going to be? We'll do a 40-yard dash, which mine will be a 40-yard trot, but I'm going to run.
Yeah.
How much are we benching?
Maybe we should do 20.
How much are we benching?
We got to do 225.
225. Okay, so
how many times
do
we do 225?
All right. Okay. Could work with that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do the shuttle run?
How about
– would
you guys
rather
do the 5-10-5 or the L?
What?
The L drill or the 5-10-5?
See, my problem is I can't do anything with explosiveness. The run. I go to cut. There's a good chance of a lawsuit.
See,
broad jump. That's pushing off of their Achilles. Yeah.
See, I really think we should do a combine that fits us a little bit better.
Yeah, like a wing eating contest.
Wing eating. Tweeting.
Okay.
Tweeting.
How fast can you get out 140 characters?
Throwing things at things.
I think we should. Here's what I like. I do like the bench press idea, but we have to save that for last because I at least have a chance to get more than one out. Maybe not two, but I can get more than one.
One what?
At 225. Not kidding.
Yeah, right.
I work out
too. Come on. Hey, I know. Come on.
40-yard dash, I'll participate in. Bad Achilles and all. I'll tape the heck up, and we'll do that. But I agree with Jay. I think we should have a 10-wing contest, how fast we can eat 10 wings. I like the idea.
We should run the 40. What about the 20? I mean, guys.
Well, the 20's fine.
Yeah. It takes me at least 20 to get up to full.
To get it going? To get it going?
We're
going to
go full 40. We're going to go full 40. And I think we should have, like, it's not fair for you, but we should have something like some kind of throwing accuracy contest.
We should, because I'd love to see how terrible that you do. And you and I have small hands.
We do.
These hands.
Dude, your hands are bigger.
Well, we got to make it difficult, you know?
Yeah, Shock's got those monsters. He's got a catcher's mitt.
Jeez.
That's why he played the NFL.
Oh yeah. I like to throw it. Yeah, we can find
we'll throw it in
garbage cans, and you know they got the QB thing out there, right, Bose?
You know the other one. Targets. I think it would be fun.
All Bose
QB net.
Here's his work.
We catch
work.
Punts off the jugs machine.
Ooh, I like that one.
That I like. That could be fun.
And we got to get D-Led out there to try to.
Yes, I need to see that as well.
Guys, I don't understand why you're trying to make me catch the ball.
If I'm doing that
and a field goal kick, what about that?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I like it. Now, how long – this will be what, like after the draft or right before the draft?
Oh, it would have to be before the combine.
Yeah.
Before or right after?
Let's do right after. Like, I need as much time I can to heal. Yeah, I'm in for this.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
We'll get it going.
Come on,
Bosek. You're a part of this too, buddy. Oh.
We're also going to have the cheerleaders.
Bosek, you got to get under 225, Bosek.
Yeah, okay.
185.
We should see how many times we can bench press Bose.
185.
That's what you should do.
How much do you weigh, Bose?
170.
140.
500 pounds.
Yeah,
500. Bose, we can do 185. How about that?
All right,
cool.
We'll work on that. No, I think we should do 220.
Bose, you got to get in the weight room, man.
Yeah. Got to bulk up. All right, real quick before we get out of here, because I know we got Periscope. Super Bowl predictions. Around the room as fast as you can.
Broncos.
Oh, where am I? Broncos.
Let's go, Broncos.
See you guys next week.